Let's read three verses of scripture before we go into the lesson. Romans, the 8th chapter, the 14th verse says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." The 16th verse said, "The Spirit itself," or a better translation would be Himself, "beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." Then in Proverbs, the 20th chapter, the 27th verse, "The Spirit of Man." Everybody say, "The Spirit of Man." The Spirit of Man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. The Spirit of Man is the candle of the Lord. That means that He's going to enlighten you through your spirit. And so we talk about being led, and that the Lord leads us. And so we've noticed or called your attention last night to the number one way that He leads us is by the inward witness. Number one way, the primary way that He leads us is by the inward witness. Hallelujah. Now, we're talking about being led by the Spirit. Praise God. The Holy Spirit, and we went over the scriptures last night, we'll not reiterate them, dwells in our spirit. And He passes information on to our spirit, and then our spirit passes that information on to our minds. The spirit of man has a voice. We call it conscience. We call it intuition. We just call it an inward voice sometimes. But thank God for the Holy Spirit. And thank God He does lead us. "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." Now, it's not for us to tell the Lord how to lead us. What we need to do is find out what He says about leading. Amen? And cooperate with Him. Now, you know, of course, that in the Acts of the Apostles and elsewhere in the Bible, we see how at times people receive spectacular supernatural guidance. For instance, through a vision. We read where others received guidance, an angel appeared to them and spoke to them and gave them certain directions. However, such phenomena as this only happened sometimes only one time in some of these people's lives, and sometimes only a couple of times. You see, that's not the ordinary way that God leads and guides. He does lead sometimes that way. He does guide sometimes that way, but that's an extraordinary way. We need to remember that, too many times, though, folks are seeking something like that, when all the time they're missing what God's saying to them. Amen. Failing to realize that the primary way, and the reason I say that is because that's what Jesus said to me. I said to you last night about it, and I'd go in detail again, how that He came and sat down by my bedside and talked to me for an hour and a half. But, and that's what He said, the primary way, the main way that I lead all of my children is by the inward witness. Now, He talked to me in that period of time concerning the prophet's ministry, but He said, "I don't lead through the prophet's ministry. It's unscriptural to seek guidance through the prophet's ministry." They did in the Old Testament because they didn't have the Holy Ghost. Nobody but the king and the priest and the prophet had the Holy Ghost, except when God called somebody to do a special job and He had anointed them with the Spirit to do that. Amen? The Lord said to me, for instance now, I just had a letter from a minister. He had talked to me in person. He had phoned me. He had sent a telegram. And now he sent a letter. And I'd sort of about halfway committed myself, you know, to go. And so he wanted me to write and confirm that I'd be with him several months hence. Well, I had sat down to write a letter, and I actually did write, "Dear Brother So-and-so, greetings in the name of Jesus. I'm writing to confirm this date." And without thinking, I just suddenly crumpled up the paper and threw it in the wastebasket. The next day, I thought to myself, "Well, he's waiting on me. I better write him." So I sat down again. Pretty well wrote the whole letter. Suddenly, without thinking, I just crumpled it up and threw it in the wastebasket. So I hadn't written to him when this experience I was telling you about happened to me. So the Lord said to me, that was really if I get your attention, that was really the inward voice. That was really the inward witness telling you not to go there. Now then, you see me sitting here. But this is the last time I want to guide you that way. You see me sitting here. You hear me speaking to you. I'm telling you, don't go there. Because the way that you'll be ministering by the time you get there will not be accepted, so don't go. Amen. I'm never going to lead you that way again, and it never has. He's always led me by the inward witness, primarily. Now then, again, he said to me, I preached a convention for the Foursquare folks, and a regional convention. And so there's a minister said to me, Brother Hagin, you go to small church? I said, I go in where the Lord says go. Well, now, we only run about 70 in Sunday school. Now, that counted all the children, babies, and anything that moved. But if the Lord ever speaks to you, well, you know, we'd be glad to have you to come to our church. Well, I was sure that the Lord wouldn't speak to me to go to a small church like that. So I never even thought about it, just dismissed it. But about 3 months later, every time I went to pray about the night service and got into a spirit of prayer, that would come up before me, this man talking to me. And so after about 3 days, I just happened over and over. I said, Lord, you sure, you know, you don't want me to go there? But on the inside of me, I said, you know, I got this. I don't want to miss God. How many of you folks want to miss God? So then the Lord said to me, that was the inward witness. That's an inward witness. Amen. That you should go. So I contacted this man. I went. I said to the Lord, now Lord, this is a smaller church. I'd been going to the big churches, you know, and preaching conventions. You know what it takes to meet my budget, and I expect you to meet my budget, small places like you do in the big place. You know, I went to that place, and they gave me twice as much ordinary got from a big church. Found out why God sent me there. About half the church didn't have the Holy Ghost, and I laid hands on them and got baptized. He had 7 teachers, 5 school teachers, 2 principals of school in his church. They was all filled with the Holy Ghost. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. But you see, he pointed out to me, that's the inward witness. That's the inward witness. And so we must realize then that a lot of times we are seeking something spectacular, supernatural, which happens occasionally, and we're missing the fact that he's trying to guide us all the time, amen, by that inward witness. Now, of course, we'd rather have an angel appear to us. And sometimes they do, or they may. Amen. But that's not ordinary. That's extraordinary. Or we'd like to have a vision. Sometimes we do. Some of us at least. But that's not the ordinary way that he leads us. Then for guidance, a lot of people put out what they call a fleece. Now the New Testament does not say as many as are led by fleeces, they are the children of God. Somebody said, well, Gideon put out a fleece. Yeah, he sure did. But he didn't know whether it's God. He didn't have the Holy Ghost. He didn't know whether God was talking to him or who was talking to him. See, we're living under the new covenant established upon better promises. Now, you know, I didn't hear much about fleeces over in the Baptist. But I got baptized with the Holy Ghost, spoke with other tongues, 1937. Got the left foot of fellowship from among the Baptists and came over among the Pentecostals. They talked a whole lot about putting out fleeces. Well, after about, well, let's see, 37, 38, 39, 40, 41, about 4 years in Pentecostal circles, I decided that I'd put out a fleece. I had a church, I was pastor of a church, but another church contacted me, wanted me to come preach and consider pastoring their church. Well, I'd been praying about maybe changing, and so I told my congregation what I was going to do. Didn't know whether I was going to consider moving or not, but I'm going to preach there. So I went and preached. I was driving back Sunday night because it's cooler at nighttime. We didn't have air-conditioned cars then, and the highway went through every town, you know, and so you could make it faster at nighttime. So I'm driving back over 100 miles, And so I said, Lord, I'm going to put out a fleece here. I don't know what to do, but I'm going to put out a fleece. Now, here's my fleece. This is a congregation, you know, that voted folks in. And I said, if I get every vote, 100%, then that's my fleece. I'm going to accept that church. They voted me in 100%, miss God 100%. Amen. I put out my fleece and I got fleeced. I never put out another fleece from that day to this. Now let me tell you something else. I left the last church that I pastored in 1949. February, I preached my farewell sermon February, the first Sunday of February of 49. Began a revival meeting the second Sunday of February of 1949. And I was for 13 years through 1962 strictly in the churches. Except during that time I did hold two tent meetings and one auditorium meeting. However, the local church rented the tent, and the local church, you know, rented the auditorium because they knew their auditorium wouldn't seat the crowds. And so I was still preaching for the local church. So, for 13 years, constantly in meeting, I preached constantly. I was gone 90% of the time away from home. And I ran a few polls. You know, they do that about election time, you know, the popularity of the president and so on. I asked pastors, and then a lot of times in some of the day services, neighboring pastors, would sometimes four or five ministers, pastors and sometimes evangelists and others were there. And afterwards, we may all go out to eat, you see. And I'd ask them questions. I'd ask them, how many of you believe in putting out fleeces? The majority of them did. How many of you ever got fleeces to work for you? Well, they really didn't know for sure. I said, well, all right, let me rephrase it. How many times you put out a fleece, but how many times did it work? They said, well, about half, about 50%. I said, you mean God's leading people in a hit and miss thing? Amen. None of them, not one single one, through 13 years of talking to many preachers, most of them full gospel, Pentecostal, did every one of them say that it ever worked for them 100%. In fact, the best percentage was 50. Some of them said about 30, about a third of the time. Some of them said maybe 40%. God's not leading us by such methods that's just a hit and miss and maybe works and maybe doesn't. You know, that's the only time I ever miss God. Now, I pastored 12 years, not the same church. But that's the only church I miss God on. I never missed Him again. Hallelujah. Now, why didn't I? Because I learned to forget about fleeces and look to the Spirit of God. That I've got a guide on the inside of me. I remember one time, because I really didn't want to go to this church. I really didn't want to pastor this church. And the Lord wanted me to. He kept dealing with me just by the inward witness. And so I said to the Lord, Lord, now, if you could just confirm that, and sometimes He does, don't misunderstand me at all. You know, maybe you could confirm that in some spectacular way. And I kept asking about that. Finally, he said to me, a friend said, I'm not going to do it. Don't you ask me. You know on the inside of you what to do, now do it. I said, okay, fine, I will. Amen. Hallelujah. And so there's some of you sitting here seeking guidance. You want somebody to prophesy to you. I did too. Or bring a word from the Lord. Or an angel appear. And yet, if you'd look on the inside of you, you know exactly on the inside of you what you want to do, what He wants you to do. Sometimes it's your flesh that don't want to go along with it. But keep the flesh under. Amen? See, a lot of times, we don't want to take the responsibility on ourselves. We'd rather God would move out here some way in some kind of a spectacular way. Write something in the clouds, in the air. But we must remember that we need to respond to the inward witness. Now then, closely with the inward witness is the inward, as we call it, the inward voice. Now sometimes That voice is twofold. Sometimes it's just that what we call the still, small voice, which is the voice of your own spirit speaking to you. But sometimes the Holy Spirit, who dwells within you, will just speak up. And when he does, it's more authoritative. Now, if we would train our spirits, we would know immediately on the inside of us a yes or a no, whatever area of our life, even in the minor incidents of lives. But you see, our problem is that we've spent practically our entire lifetime in the physical realm or the mental realm. We've developed our heads a lot of time at the expense of our spirits. The knowledge of our intellect has taken the throne in our lives, and our spirits, which should guide us, are kept locked away, so to speak, and are not permitted to function. That inward witness is seeking to give guidance to our minds. Now, we all know, as we look back, that there are 1,001 things that we'd have never done if we'd listened to something on the inside of us, or if we'd listened to that inward witness. We'd have never fellowshiped with certain people. We'd have never gone into business with certain people. We had never done a lot of things. I said 1,001, that's just an expression. Maybe that many, it may not. Seem like it sometime, don't it? Now, for instance, 1951, the month of July, I was holding a revival meeting here in the state of Oklahoma. Not here in Tulsa, but one of the smaller towns. And so, right across, the church sat on the corner, and right, as we say in Texas, catty-cornered across the street from the church, was a little strip shopping center. There's a man there, member of this church. In fact, I understand he owned the whole shopping center. Just a strip, you know, just a few buildings. But he had, in one of the buildings, he had a business, furniture, hardware, appliances. And so I was teaching, of course, each day on the subject of faith. But to teach on the subject of faith, you get off on this a little, because the Word of God tells us that with the heart man believeth, and so in locating the heart, we talked about the spirit. And sometimes God, just to help people, will lead you to go a little further. So I went a little further. Afterwards, this man came to me, and he said, "Brother, I don't know whether the pastor told you or not, but he had. You know, I own that across the street there. And that store, place of business, appliances, furniture, hardware, and all of that. Then I have another store, the same kind, across town." Now, he said, "I had both stores full. Then I had a warehouse full, you know, to supplement here when we sold out. I got all the businesses paid for. I got all the warehouse paid for. I got all the furniture and all the appliances. All of it's already paid for." And I don't know whether he told you or not, but the pastor did tell me. He built a mansion there in town. In fact, the Chamber of Commerce, when some outstanding person came to visit the city, they'd always take him by and show him his home, because he had the most palatial home in town. And it's all paid for. But he said one Monday morning, a friend, a fellow Christian, came along. He's got a business proposition he wants me to go in with him on. I said to him, "Well, I'll pray about it." He said to me, "Well, this is Monday, and we'll have to do this by Wednesday, or it'll be too late. So I'm sort of in a hurry here, so I put out a fleece. My fleece said, do it. But since hearing you teach, there's something on the inside of me right down in here," he said, "that said, don't do it." Well, you see, that was that inward witness trying to get his attention. So I went ahead. Now, he said, "I got everything paid for, and I got enough cash on hand to run everything. But now then, this takes thousands of dollars." So I went to the bank. I mortgaged my property. I got just thousands of dollars. I went into business with him. I lost it all. 2 years have come and gone. I'm still paying on the note. Interest, you see. If I could have heard you back there then, it would have saved me thousands of dollars. I started to tell him, think about how much it'll save you in the future. Go on, help me to tell others. Give me a big offer. But I didn't say anything. Amen. Now I knew, the person I'm about to refer to, I knew him personally. And I knew he was a man of wealth. Actually, he didn't start preaching until he was 32 years old as a businessman. But in Depression days, he sold his business and he had $10,000 clear. And in the Great Depression in the 30s, he took $10,000 and turned it into a million. Boy, when you're a millionaire in Depression days, that's like being a billionaire today. Kept on preaching, all right, but he made investments. Well, folks knew that he did that. I remember a friend of mine asked me, said, "Do you think he'd invest? He had a project going." I said, "Well, I hate to tell him I didn't think so, and I really didn't think that he would, and he didn't." But he asked me, "You know where he lives?" I said, "Yeah, palatial home." Well, he said, "Would you take me there?" I said, "Okay, but don't you tell him I brought you." In fact, I let him off, pointed the house out to him, and I said, "I'm going on down here 2 blocks away, park. You get done, you come down there. I don't want him to see me. He might think I brought you by, and I don't want him to think that." Nonetheless, he didn't invest in his project. But two other evangelists, one of them in Minnesota and one of them in California, didn't know the other to talk to me, but they were close friends to this man and his wife, and they stayed in his palatial home when they come to preach a revival meeting for him. And both of them told me the same story, one in California, one in Minnesota. They said, "He told us, I've never lost a dime, never lost a dime in all of these investments." He said, "People know that I invest. People are coming almost constantly wanting me, you know, to finance or invest in their project or whatever." He said, "I always just tell them, well, give me time, I'll pray about it." He said, "Sometime while people are talking, because of my business experience, my head said that'd be a good thing. But," said, "I get into my prayer closet." Now, his prayer closet was just simply the closet where he hung his suits up, his clothes. It was bigger than the smallest bedroom in my house. He said, "I get in there with my Bible, just shut myself up in the way, you know, and pray." Said, "Once in a while I might miss a meal, fast. I always get my answer, have always within 3 days, sometimes within 1 day. Never over 3 days, I get my answer." In here. Right in here. Right in here. And he said, "My head said, that's a good deal. My heart said no. And no, I didn't." Now then, he said, being a businessman for years, knowing something about investments and all of that, while somebody's talking, he said, "My head said, boy, you'd be a fool to invest in that. You'd lose your shirt." You know what I mean by losing your shirt? In other words, lose it all. But he said, waiting on God, he said, yes. So he invested. I've never lost a dime. Never lost a dime. That's pretty good, isn't it? Amen. All of these years. Praise God. But now what happened? He took time to wait on God. See, we want quick fixes and quick answers. Fast food and fast this. Well, God don't know. The Bible said, "He that believeth shall not make haste." And sometimes you just have to take extra time to wait on God till you get it settled here on the inside of you in your spirit. Now, listen closely. Several years ago, one of the leading evangelists of America, very successful in their area, someone asked him, "What do you..." Now we know God called you, we know God anointed you, but what, from your standpoint, what do you do that contributes to the success of your ministry more than anything else? I listen closely, I want to hear what he's going to say. He said, "I always follow," sort of put his hands on his stomach, "I always follow my deepest premonitions." Now what's he saying? I always follow my spirit. I always follow my spirit. We know God called him, God anointed him, but you can be called of God and anointed and still not be a success because you don't listen to what the Spirit's telling you to do. Amen? Can you say amen? Well, that inward witness is seeking to give guidance to our minds. Amen. Now then, as I said to you, there's not only the inward witness, but thank God there's the inward voice. I want to talk a little bit more about the inward witness so we can identify it better. I remember I was pastor of a church in East Texas, and in my study, because I prepare Sunday morning, Sunday night messages, Wednesday night, and I spend several hours every day in my study, which is in the church, pastor's next door. And I would pray, of course. Pray standing up, pray walking. A lot of time just kneel by the chair by my desk and pray. Now one day while I'm praying, to my utter astonishment and really unbelief, a burden for another church came on me. And I thought, oh, you know, Lord, you're not talking to me about going pastoring there, are you? Sort of passed it off. Got my mind, you know, off. Got up and got on studying. Well, again, praying that away, I'd get so taken up with this other church over 100 miles away, one day I jumped up and ran out of the room trying to get away from it. One day, I came to myself standing in the street, in the middle of the street, beside the church. I went out a side door. I don't remember leaving my study. And I had to run across the front part of the church and out a side door. I said to myself, how did I get out here? I was so overcome with that, I was running, trying to get away from it. So finally I said, now Lord, you know, speak to my wife about it. You know, she's in on this too, you know. If I go, she's got to go. Or supposed to at least. And thank God she always did. Never fuss and never griped a minute. And so I said, you talk to her. Well, I believe that he would and that he did. I waited a few weeks. And I said, honey, is the Lord saying anything to you? No. Well, about what? Well, I said, maybe leaving here. I didn't say pastor, maybe going out on the field holding meetings or some other ministry or something. Now, if he is, I don't know it. So I waited about a month. I asked her again. We were washing dishes. The Lord said anything to you? No. I said, has he said anything to you about, and I mentioned this town and church? Oh, she said, I thought that was just me. Well, now you got to differentiate between the flesh and the spirit. So I said, I knew because in times past talking, I said, I want to ask you a question. Now from the natural standpoint, from the mental standpoint, from the physical standpoint, you want to live in that town? She said, no. I said, from the natural standpoint, from the physical standpoint, do you want, you know a little something about that church? You want to pastor that church? She said, no. Well, I said, we know, you know the pastor. You've been there. You've been in it. Do you physically, mentally, naturally want to live in that pastor? No. I said, it couldn't have been you then because you don't want to do it. Amen. I said, amen. No, the Spirit, you see, was leading her all the time. She had that inward witness, but didn't know how to differentiate. How can I tell, someone says, whether it's my own spirit or the Holy Spirit telling me to do something? Well, let's point out the scripture again. The Spirit of man, everybody say the Spirit of man, is the candle of the Lord. Hallelujah. Differentiate between the outward man and the inward man. to God a living sacrifice. Amen. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Now then, let's go a little further. Not only is there the inward witness, but like I said, sometimes the inward voice. We call it still small voice. And then again, the Holy Spirit will speak up. When he does, it's more authoritative. In fact, it's surreal. It comes from the inside of you, but it's surreal. Sometimes you'll almost look around like somebody's standing behind you saying it. Amen? Sometimes it's just a perception, so to speak. You remember what Paul said? When they were boarded the ship, you know, to go to Rome, I perceive. Remember that? I perceive that this voyage is fraught with much danger. Really, that was the inward witness. He just called it, I perceive. Where did he perceive it? With his foot? No. With his physicals? No. With his mental? No. With his spirit. I was holding a meeting in one of our larger cities, teaching some along this line, went out to eat with an evangelist. He said, Brother Hagin, I understand something. I knew it was God all along, but he said, being an evangelist, gone so much of the time, you know, I took my family out to eat. He had about 4 children. We all sat down at, you know, in the restaurant, got our water, and the waitress come and give us our menu, and we were looking it over, haven't ordered anything yet. And suddenly, he said, just an urge. Boy, I didn't understand it. But just on the inside of me, I knew we ought to go home. I said to my wife, we need to go home. Well, thank God she's the kind of wife that obeyed her husband. Said, well, if you think so, fine. He said, I don't know what it is. I don't know. But just suddenly came up from the inside of me. A perception, you see. And so he said to the waitress, we're going to have to go. Hadn't ordered anything anyway, see. Got in the car, went home. I've been to his house. In fact, we went there before we went out to eat that day. And just as he turned the corner, his house sat on the corner. It sat facing this way, street in front of us, street beside it, and he turned down this side street to go into the garage, which is the back of his house. Just as he turned the corner, the whole back of the garage blew out. The hot water heater blew up. Well, he's right there. He got help. They put it out. But if he hadn't have been there, the whole thing may have burned down before somebody caught it. Amen? I said, amen? Amen. Thank God. You see, that wasn't a spectacular leading, but it was still the Holy Ghost. We need to be sensitive to those things. We would have saved ourselves a lot of problems. I remember one minister told me I was holding a meeting for him in his church and got to talking along some of these lines. And he, several years ago before, he had had an automobile accident. And the car he ran into, a woman was killed, and his wife almost died. And a lot of trouble came out of it. Well, he said, you know, we claim the promises of God, and I couldn't understand why it happened. I understand now. He said, we were traveling. We spent the night in this particular city. Got up the next morning, going to finish our travel that day. And so he said, I put the suitcase in the car. We just took out enough what we need for overnight. My wife's still, you know, making up her face. And so then I'll get her little beauty case or whatever and put it in the car. But he said, you know, I put the suitcase in the trunk and I just sort of leaned back up and on the front fender there. And he said, I remember something said to me. Stay right here 10 minutes. And he said, I said, well, now, we're people of faith, and we made our confession. We believe God to help us and to keep us. We'll just go on by faith. No, when you miss God, you're going on in ignorance. And so they got in the car, went around a curve. A bunch of cars had piled up, and they piled right into them. Then others came, piled into them. But about 10 minutes later, because he's already notified, a highway patrolman came, put his car up around the corner with the red lights flashing. And if I'd have waited 10 minutes, he'd have been there, you see, and I'd have stopped. See, that's the Holy Ghost answering his prayer all the time. I said, that's the Holy Ghost answering his prayer, answering his confession. We've confessed. Amen. We've made our confessions. But no, we'll just go ahead because, you know, he's going to keep us. That's what he's trying to do, is keep you. Amen. Thank God for faith. But thank God for the Holy Ghost. And thank God for having a little common sense. Amen. I was holding a meeting for a pastor in Texas. And I talked along some of these lines. He said, Brother Hagin, of course I knew this, I'd heard it. He said, we were having a meeting. You know, back in those days, Morris Ward was Speaker of Revival Time. They had him in the Houston, in the music hall in those days was the biggest auditorium there. And so they're having this auditorium meeting. Everybody's invited, not just Assembly of God, other churches. And so he said one night, we're on our way to the service, and my wife and two children, two boys, the two boys, older boys, were quite older. One of them, I guess, was 8, 9, 10, the other about 8. Then they got just a young one that's only 14 months old. He was in his mother's arms. He said, as I approached that, now downtown there's not much traffic, you know, at that time of night. Traffic's all got out by 4:30 or 5 o'clock. About 6, they're all gone. He's going along there about 7 o'clock. But he said, I got a signal light in front of me. I started slowing down because it's red. Now there's a building, you see, that comes right up, you know how they build, right up to the corner almost, just a sidewalk there. So you can't see whether anybody's coming that street or not. And so he said, I began to put on my brakes because the signal light is red, but it turned green. Turned green before I ever got there. So I just stepped on the gas because I got a green light and got right out in the middle of the street. And here come a couple of fellas that were drunk and hit his car right in the side where his wife and that baby, 14-month-old child, in his arm. Wife severely injured. Doctor said the baby wasn't going to live. But they hung in there and prayed and thanked God was healed and lived. He said, since you're talking, I remember that something on the inside of me said, pull over to the curb and stop. And I didn't do it. Now he said, oh, 7, 8, nearly a year later, I had to go downtown on Monday on some church business, and I was approaching that same corner, and I got a green light, and something said, pull. I said, oh, well, it's just because I was here before. Something said, pull over to the curb and stop. I said, well, that's just because of this other happening, and just kept, you know, faster than you know, these thoughts come faster than you can fire machine gun bullets. He said, suddenly, without thinking, I just whipped that car over to the side, to the curb, and stopped. And when I did, he said, there's a car went through that red light. Must have been going. I don't tell him how fast he's going. He had hit me right in the side. Thank God, he said, I learned to listen. I'm persuaded that if you just talk to people, because through the years I've done, particularly Christian people, you'll find out they had a premonition. That's what that outstanding evangelist said. I always follow my deepest premonition. They had an inward intuition, an inward witness, and sometimes even a still small voice that told them what to do. But see, having not been trained, having not been taught, see, I made mistakes to begin with because I didn't know. I didn't know I was a spirit being. I didn't know the spirit of man is a candle of the Lord. Amen? And I, just like everybody else, missed it. But thank God, those days are over and have been over for quite some time. Didn't get there overnight, and you're not going to get there overnight. But you will get there, praise God, if you'll continue to train your spirit by meditating on the Word. Amen. By being a doer of the Word. By putting God's Word first. By learning to obey the voice of your spirit. Now then, again, in conclusion, The Holy Ghost leads us through what is known as the inward voice. When the Holy Spirit within you speaks, it'll be more authoritative. Now, I can remember in my own experience that I learned some of these things early. You remember I gave him a testimony the other morning for those who might not have heard. After being bedfast for 16 months, the best doctors in the land said I had to die. I was healed as a Baptist boy reading Grandma's Methodist Bible. It was following that inward voice, hallelujah, that I was healed. Now, I had gotten up and walked around the room because, see, I had been practically totally paralyzed. In fact, the day I was healed, Mama bathed me, still unable to bathe myself. But the paralysis are all gone. Now, I didn't say anything to my family. They thought these things had been done away with. But anyway, I said to my mother, now, bring my clothes and lay them out. This is the third morning after I was healed. I'm going to get up and go to the breakfast table in a moment. We live with my grandparents, my mother and daddy. It took me 45 minutes to persuade her to get my clothes, but she laid them out. I got up the next morning and dressed, sat in the chair and waited, because at 7:30, Grandpa run on schedule. When you heard that porch swaying creak, he's already out there setting the porch string 7:30 in the morning. You know it's 7:30. They didn't have to call him. You don't know, you're looking at your watch, it's 7:30. So I waited till I knew he got back to the... Now there's several of us, they had a little dinette in the kitchen, but we ate in the dining room. I waited until they all got set down. Then I walked out of my bedroom and across an adjoining bedroom and into the dining room. When I walked in, everybody looked up, because I've been bedfast 16 months. Grandpa said, is the dead raised? Is Lazarus raised up? I said, yeah, the Lord raised me up. Sat down and ate. Don't take you long to eat if you don't talk so much. And you didn't talk at Grandpa's table. I mean, visiting people come with children. They get to talking. Grandpa lays knife down, fork down, just look at them. After a while, the parents, though they're mostly stupid, but they caught on. If they hadn't have been stupid, they'd taught their children how to act. Amen. They caught on, they'd quieten them down, Grandpa would go to eating again. I lived in my grandpa's house at this time I was approximately 17 years of age. I'd lived with them since I was 9. Never did talk at the table. Children didn't talk at the table. How many of y'all remember all that? Amen. Nowadays children have no raising. They've been raised by stoops and half-wits. Never taught them any manners. The way they act, they must not ever taught them anything. Don't shout me down now just because I'm preaching real good. Amen. Amen. So I got through, you know. Don't take you long to eat, you don't talk. I got through. Went back to my bedroom. Looked at the clock. It's 10 minutes till 8 o'clock. I said to myself, well, you know, I've been bedfast 16 months. Now, a couple of days later, with my clothes on, I weighed 87 pounds. Just as tall as I am now. My clothes hung on me like I was over a scarecrow. They called me a walking skeleton. Well, being that thin, and you're naturally weak. See, God healed me, but he didn't put pounds on me. I've done that, overdone it. And you probably have too. Now then, you got to take it off. Wouldn't it be wonderful if you could take it off as easy as you can put it on? Amen. And so naturally, that exertion, I hadn't been out of the room for 16 months. That exertion, you know, I felt a little weak. I said, I'm going to lie down here across the bed and rest. When Mama comes to make up the bed, you know, clean the room up and all that, I'll go out and sit down with Grandpa in the porch swing a while. Then after a while, I'm going to walk uptown. So I lay down there. But I'm not used to waking up because they didn't get me up. They'd eat breakfast, clean up the kitchen there. After all, Mom would come to my room and awaken me and bring me a tray or something. And just as I woke up, I know it was 8 o'clock because I looked at the clock, 8 o'clock in the morning. Just as I was awake, I just sort of dozed off. Just as I woke up, I heard a voice. Not inside me. It's out here. It sounded like this. And here's what it said. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little while and then vanishes away. And then there was a pause and the voice said, and today thou shalt surely die. I don't know. I didn't know about these things. I thought God was standing right there in the room talking. Then these voice came to my mind. Satan's voice comes to your mind because he's out here. He ain't on the inside. Amen? These thoughts and voice came. Now you used to pray because I thought I had to die. Lord, before I die, let me know far enough ahead of time so I can tell everybody goodbye. So this voice said, different, not like that one, so audible, but against my mind, said, see, I knew that was scriptural. Both of those verses are portions of scripture. What is your life? Even a vapor that appears for a little time, then vanishes away. And today thou shalt surely die. That's what God said through Isaiah to King Hezekiah. And here now this voice said to my mind, it's appointed that a man wants to die, after that the judgment. I knew that was scripture. But so many, most misinterpreted. And this voice said, see, everybody has an appointed time to die, and your time has come. Now you've been healed. Of course the devil couldn't counteract that. It's true. You've been healed. Healing's true. But your appointed time has come to die, and God's moved in this spectacular, supernatural way to let you know, so you'll have time to tell everybody goodbye. Feel if I'd listened to him, I'd have died. But I really thought that was God. I thought God standing right there in that room. I got up off the bed. I just lying across it anyway, and I tiptoed. I mean, God's there. I tiptoed across the room and sat down in a chair by the window. And I sat there from 8 o'clock in the morning till 2:30 in the afternoon waiting to die. But thank God for the Holy Ghost. Say it again. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. Now, around about 2:30, I'm sitting there waiting. On the inside of me, this other's out here. On the inside of me, these words just seemed to come floating up to my mind. It was my spirit passing them on to my mind. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Now that's scriptural, but I didn't know it was scriptural. I had not read the Old Testament. I'd spent all my reading in the New Testament at that time. I did not know that was scriptural. I did not know where it came from. I turned it over in my mind a time or two, and then I said, well, yes, but now God's moved in this spectacular, supernatural way with an audible voice. Got my mind back on dying. Sat there a few moments longer, and from the inside of me, it was my spirit speaking, passing the information that he got from Jesus and God, the Bible, onto my mind. With long life will I satisfy him. I turned that over a time or two in my mind. I said, well, yes, but now God's moved in this spectacular, supernatural way to let me know. You know, it's appointed unto man. I didn't know. I knew the scriptures there, but I didn't know. I didn't interpret it right either. It's appointed unto man wants to die. After that, the judgment. Everybody's got appointed time to die. No. That's not what it's saying. That couldn't be what it's saying. The rest of the Bible contradicts it. Prove that to you in a minute. But, you see, everybody's not even going to die, even though you got the appointment. Jesus comes in the rapture, we're all going if we're left here. Amen? And so I dismissed it. So I'm sitting there. Now this time, that, see, was an inner, we call it still small voice. My spirit passing that information to my mind. Now this, I realized that it came from inside me, but it was the Holy Ghost just spoke up. It's so real, I turned and looked behind my chair. Said, with long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Now when I heard those words, so authoritative, I said out loud, who said that? Now what I meant was this, who's talking to me? Who said that? The voice answered me and said, the 91st Psalm. My Bible's lying on the floor under my chair. I've been sitting there 6 hours and 6 hours and a half, haven't even looked at it. So I reached and got my Bible. I couldn't tell you what the 91st Psalm said. I never read it up till then. But open my Bible to the 91st Psalm. I read it. I read right on down through it. I got down there, you know, towards the end of it. And he said, with long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. And the minute I got on that, long life, then here this voice came to my mind again. That's just for the Jews. That's not for Christians. That's just for the Old Testament. That's not New Testament. Long life. Well, see, he lighted my candle. The devil put it out. So I thought for a minute. I said, wait a minute. I'm going to run my reference. See what it says about long life. So I started that 91st Psalm. I began to run these references. The book of Proverbs has a whole lot to say about it. Talks about by doing certain things that you'll shorten your days. And then by others, by them doing certain things, they'll prolong their days. One scripture said by doing certain things so on, you'll cut your days in half. Well, I begin to see then it's not appointed unto man once to die, and when his appointment comes, he's going to die whether or no. Amen, because he can prolong his days and he can shorten his days. Yeah, but the devil said, this voice against my mind said, that's still just Old Testament, it's not the New. I followed my reference. You know, it brings you the same thing in the New Testament. By following wrong life, I came to the 6th chapter of Ephesians where it said, children, obey your parents in the Lord. Talks about being the first commandment with promise. For with long life will I satisfy him. Hallelujah. Amen. It'll be well with you, and your days will be long. Long's not short, is it? Then I went on over following long life, and I got over where Peter's was quoting the Psalms. He that would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that to speak no guile. I see both Peter and Paul are quoting the Old Testament. Hallelujah, because the promise is unto us. When I read that with my Bible in hand, I jumped out of that chair. And I said, devil, that's you. That's not God, that's you. Yeah, the devil can move supernaturally too, friends. That's you. And I'm not going to die today. And I'm not going to die tomorrow. And I'm not going to die next week. And I'm not going to die next year. And I'm not going to die next 5 years. And I'm not going to die next 10 years. And I'm not going to die next 25 years. And I'm not going to die next 30 years. And I'm not going to die next 40 years. And I'm not going to die next 50 years. And I'm not going to die next 55 years. I've added to that since then. Because I'm past my 55. I thought, you know, it's 17. Add 55 to it. Amen. That'd put you over 72. I thought that was a long life. Now, been as I'm in my 70s, I found out it ain't. But you're 17 looking up, brother. Whoa. Amen. That's what I said to the devil, and then I kicked him out. I just literally kicked him. Bless God, I said, get out of here. I kicked him all the way to the front door. Opened the door and kicked him out. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. Thank God. Well, stand up, everybody. Now I'm going to have to hurry to get by everything. You getting anything at all out of this? Amen. Say it again. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. Turn and shake hands with your neighbor and say, thank God for the Holy Ghost. Turn around and shake hands with another neighbor and say, my spirit is a candle of the Lord. Now turn and shake hands with another and say, the Holy Spirit guides me through my spirit. I am spirit filled. I am spirit taught. I am spirit led. Hallelujah. Put up both hands and thank God. Put up both hands and thank God. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Thank you. Amen. I will help you and I'll preach me happy. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. You're dismissed. See you tonight.